Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized one of his fellow servants and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the entire debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our readings this weekend take up the issue of forgiveness, and perhaps more than any other set of readings in the course of the year, they're pretty explicit and not really open to much interpretation. Our scripture says very clearly that we are called to forgive. And that call actually is something that is repeated over and over in our gospel readings, so much so that forgiveness is a mark of our Christian faith. It is one of the great signs that points to our own Christianity and our following of Christ. And our readings begin with Sirach, and Sirach starts kind of mincing no words. He says, "Wrath and anger are hateful, but the sinner clings to them and holds tight." And with that, he calls out the experience of kind of holding on to anger and the feuding that grows out of that. And that's been a struggle for us from the earliest times. Words of the first law codes in Mesopotamia that were almost 2,000 years before Sirach was written were written in part to take punishment into the realm and the responsibility of the state, so the blood feuds, so the responses of anger and of wrath and retaliation would come to an end. Because those experiences of retaliation, of feuding between families going back and forth, were devastating to societies. And so the law codes seek to control them, to bring about justice, and to have the response of punishment be based on justice and not wrath and resentment. And while our own experience oftentimes isn't necessarily that violent, we know the experience, or we know the realities of wrath and resentment and anger within the communities in which we live. Whether that be our community here, in this area, in our nation, in this church, and I suspect for many of us within our families as well. We know what it is to have so much anger that we live in a culture, in a society, or in a family, in a community that can be divided in ways that make it very difficult for us to come to the table and very difficult to be community. We know the experience of being hurt and the feelings that we have in that experience of being hurt that says, if you have hurt me, then I am going to hurt you and let you know how it feels. And yet we know what those actions do to our families and communities. They don't just affect the people that are involved. They affect everyone. It makes hard for everyone to come to a place in which real communion and real community can happen. There's been a lot of literature that's been written around forgiveness, a lot of works and studies that have been done around the experience of forgiveness. And by and large, they focus in on how forgiveness is important to us as individuals, not just our culture and not just our communities, but what it means for us as well, and the ways that resentment and anger can eat away in our interiors and our souls. We can stew over injuries, brood to the point where we feel this experience of boiling, and the other person may not even know that that sort of darkness is going on in our heart. It makes us hard to love. It makes it hard for us to love other people. Anger and resentment burns within us. It is deadly. And while both of those are true, while the need for forgiveness and the need for reconciliation is important to the community and to our families, and while the need for that is important to ourselves as well, for our own health, physically and spiritually, Sirach doesn't point to either one of those. Sirach says, we are called to forgive because God forgives. We are called to forgive because we need God's forgiveness. And if we are to call out to God, asking for mercy in our own experience of sin, then we must expect that we have to strive to offer that to other people as well. That injustice, if we're going to ask to be forgiven, then we must strive to forgive. In our gospel reading, Peter asks a question. It's easy for us to laugh a little bit, I think, at the beginning. How many times must I forgive? 7 times? But we shouldn't see that as humorous. I mean, isn't once enough for forgiveness? And yet Jesus' answer is not 7 times, 77 times. Or it can also be translated 70 times 70 times. In other words, you forgive every time is what Jesus calls us to. And then he tells a parable. He says there's a servant, a debtor, who owes his master a huge amount. And the figures that are used in Greek make it clear that it is an enormous amount. There is no possible way that this man can pay off his debt. There's nothing he can do. And the master, because that debt is not going to be able to be paid off, decides to sell him and his entire family into slavery and dispose of all of his property. And even then, he's not going to get back everything that he's owed. We're told the servant, aware of his desperation, falls down at his knees and says, just give me time. I'll pay back what I owe. And the master, knowing there's no way he can pay back what he owes, but in sympathy and out of concern for him, forgives the debt, lets him go. And it could end there, except we're told that the servant then goes out, encounters a guy who owes him a trifling amount. He throttles him and has him thrown in prison for not paying back his debt. And we're called in the telling of the story, we should in the hearing of this story be offended by that. The others that were standing there were disturbed and went and talked to the master himself. And in that experience of running back to the master and informing him, we hear the master's wrath. I did for you. Why wouldn't you do that as well? And we agree with that. But then Jesus says the words, and so will my heavenly Father do to you unless you forgive. And those are hard words. They're hard words. But it calls us to recognize why, as a Christian people, we are called to forgiveness. My brothers and sisters, there is no way we can pay back to God what we owe. There is no way that we can atone for our sinfulness. What God has done for us is not something we can pay back. When we look hard at our own experience of sin and infidelity, when we look hard at our own experience of brokenness and the ways that we have wounded and hurt, we know that God's love for us and His mercy is a gift. It's generous. And as we call out for that, as something we need. We're called then to be transformed in a way that makes us merciful towards others. We need to forgive because our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. We need to forgive because we desperately, desperately need the mercy of God to find salvation. And it's our awareness of that that perhaps gives us the grace to be a merciful people. We need the sacrament. We need the sacrament that allows us to see through our own sinfulness to the mercy of God that is extended to us. We need to come here and pray the Our Father every day and ask God to forgive as we ourselves are forgiven, not because we're spontaneous and generous in our forgiveness, but because we need the Father's grace to give us forgiving hearts, and we desire the Father's grace to give us merciful hearts, so that we too, in showing mercy to others, may know God's mercy and love, which embraces us at all times and in all things, and is the only thing that really brings us salvation. Amen.